This is Jordan Seculo. Today on J Seculo Live, quite a contrast as the Senate takes up impeachment. President Trump continues to govern and get victories for the American people. We'll talk about all of that today on J Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Seculo Live.
Well, nothing says seriousness and sobriety like handing out souvenirs, as though this were a happy bill signing instead of the gravest process in our Constitution. This final display neatly distilled the House's entire partisan process into one perfect visual.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
It was transparently partisan performance from beginning to end. That's why they sped through a slapdash inquiry in 12 weeks when previous presidential impeachments came after months, if not years, of investigations and hearings.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, you remember all that talk about how solemn this is and for the children, and yet Nancy Pelosi had special pins made. Didn't say impeachment on them. It had her signature on it. Black and gold pins that she gave to her House leadership. And there are for our Facebook and Periscope viewers. And for those House managers to take over. I personally like my Donald Trump Sharpie. You know, I've got it in my hand now for our radio listeners. And I use it to sign a lot of the Next Red Wave books that we send out to those of you who are on the waiting a long time to be on the air. And again, I don't need the Nancy Pelosi fancy pin to be ready for this. But what it showed you, we also saw Nancy Pelosi smiling. That was all a game, that somberness, and this is so serious. Because once they got their impeachment, and they all wanted their special little pins. It's very, very House of them to do that, House of Representatives style, to get their special pins signed by Nancy Pelosi. But let's get down to the facts of this now. I'll be with you tomorrow from this studio, and I hope to be with you some from our studio in Washington, D.C. Next week during this trial, because here's how it works. First, the Senate just passed the USMCA trade deal. So they did that before receiving the impeachment managers and then reading the articles of impeachment, which I'm not going to play for you again on the air live. Those articles have been out, and we've gone through those, and guess what? You're going to get plenty of going through those in the next couple of weeks, if not longer, hopefully just the next couple of weeks. But this is a major victory for the president. And it contrasts like yesterday when he was signing phase one of the China trade deal and the stock market started skyrocketing. Now we have the Senate ready to send the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement to the president for his signature, and so that will be, again, replacing out the outdated NAFTA. And he's got a lot of support for this from across the aisle, including labor unions, including those who don't typically support Republican moves like this. And I just want to go to Than Bennett. Than, two major victories for the president while the House Democrats spent their time going through ceremonial pin handing outs and walking across the Senate to deliver articles. The Senate, until the last moment they had, got this deal finally done. Nancy Pelosi was also holding on to this one so that the American people will benefit. And he got that China phase one deal done so that the American people will benefit. He is governing while the Senate is about to have to hunker down for this trial.
Jordan, any one of these would have been a landmark achievement on its own that would have been breaking news across all of the networks. Of course, many people said that a China deal could never be accomplished, and now phase one is signed. Jordan, the vote wasn't quite close as we went on air, but the last I saw, the tally in the United States Senate on the USMCA was 89-8. So it probably went over 90 votes in the United States Senate. Nothing like trying to impeach a president who you have just stood with on a major foreign policy win. That in and of itself, Jordan, very big news.
And it is I just want to underscore, it is a major foreign policy win because we treat these neighbors to the north and the south as kind of, very similar, but it's foreign policy. I mean, it's foreign independent sovereign governments who they agreed to this, and then we had to get our Congress to agree to it, and now it can be implemented and replace the outdated NAFTA. And this was a major promise from President Trump on the campaign trail fulfilled. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
On Fox and Friends in the morning at 8:15 a.m. Things can always change, but to talk about the upcoming impeachment trial, I'm a member of the president's legal team. I'm heading to D.C. over the weekend, and we'll be there. Radio broadcast will remain live. Full coverage of the impeachment trial. I'll be on as much as possible, even if it's by phone. Than Bennett will be holding it down in Washington, D.C. We'll have our experts like Harry, Wes Smith, and others join as needed as well. So we will remain live. We'll give you as much coverage of what happens. What we still don't know yet is exactly what time the proceedings will start on Tuesday and how long they will go. I mean, they could go for 12 hours late into the night. They could go for 8 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. I mean, so we'll know all that really on Tuesday night when the rules are hopefully done and finalized. But what we can tell you right now is this. It's happening as we speak. Right now, the House managers have walked over the articles of impeachment, and they are reading the articles out loud in full as all 100 senators are there. They have to sit quietly at their desk listening, even though we've all been able to read these before. That is what's being done right now. When the House managers are done with this presentation, the Senate will plan to recess. They will come back around 2 p.m. That will be when Chief Justice John Roberts, that's 2 p.m. Eastern time, so maybe something you want to check out and see, because you don't usually get to see the Chief Justice in these kind of settings. Certainly most of us have not, at least since 1998, so we haven't seen this Chief Justice, John Roberts, in a setting like this. He will then, around 2 p.m., to begin presiding over the trial. Senator Chuck Grassley, the Senate President pro tempore, who is the longest-serving senator, he will swear the Chief Justice in, and then the Chief Justice's first task is to administer an oath to all the senators who must swear to, quote, impartial justice. Yeah, we'll see how that goes for a lot of those Democrats, but that's what they're swearing an oath to. Senators respond orally, but then they each sign an oath book to sit in trial. Now, at some point thereafter, the Senate will issue a summons to Mr. Trump, informing him of its trial and demanding he answer that to the charges. That's a legal filing, like an answer that will be, I think, included with a longer brief. So you will have usually 2 days to deliver that. I'm not sure that we will take that long. And then they will also assign written trial briefs to the House managers and presidents. Oh, so the briefs will be submitted next week. The answers will be submitted later on this week, probably on the, I would guess, today again being Thursday, maybe Friday or Saturday, again, because we're heading up on that MLK holiday. Then the Senate will recess until Tuesday. And so that gives that one long weekend break because of the Martin Luther King holiday. So that's where we are right now. You're going to see the House managers. They're reading the articles, the two articles of impeachment. I'm not going to play that for you because a lot of it is just junk language bashing the president. And none of it contains actual criminal allegations of actual criminal conduct, which in the past, all impeachments have of the president. They've, even though they don't, they're not required by the Constitution, they can come up with these high crimes and misdemeanors. In the past, to give strength to the articles, which have never led to a president being removed, they've included actual crimes in their articles. They did not do that here. And so after that break, Chief Justice swears them in, that starts, and then it's basically they take their oath and paperwork gets filed by both sides. And then on Tuesday, you start to see really some of the fireworks. And Stan, I say some of the fireworks because I think the initial fireworks, obviously the opening statements will be very interesting and closing statements and very, very hard hitting from both the president's legal team with Pat Cipollone and my dad, Jay Sekulow, taking the lead there, but other members of that team as well. And then from Adam Schiff, Nadler, and the other members we went through yesterday. But this first opening debate is pretty intense on the rules. The first rules will pass, but then it will give senators kind of like their one final chance to talk, to offer amendments to rules, and then the legal teams actually get to argue for or against the rules, and they get up to an hour on each amendment.
And in all reality, Jordan, the debate over those procedures, those rules are really sort of the veneer that Speaker Pelosi said were the reason that she was holding up the articles from being sent over anyway. And actually, I would argue that the very fact that some of the procedures you're talking about for next week, Jordan, are not yet known is actually an important constitutional win because it's the United States Senate standing up for their authority under Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6 that Speaker Pelosi tried to take from them. Remember, she said that Leader McConnell had to publish the rules that would govern the debate before she was going to release the articles. He did not do that. He said, send the articles when you're ready. We don't want them in the first place, but the one thing we will not let you do is dictate how we proceed should they come to us. So that's what's going to take place early next week. And Jordan, I agree with you. I mean, I think it will be contentious because I think you will see some of the senators on the minority side of the aisle essentially take up the fight that Speaker Pelosi started. But look, at the end of the day, Article 1, Section 5, the rules of the Senate get to be set by the Senate. If there are 51 rules for a certain procedure, that's the procedure that's going to govern these proceedings.
So if you've got questions about that, sure, get those impeachment questions in today and tomorrow, 1-800-684-3110. We do want to talk about some of these big wins. Again, USMCA passing the Senate 89-10. That is wide bipartisan support. Again, you've got the Phase one of the China trade deal now signed by both parties there, and a major win for America and for President Trump, who promised to do both of these things in his campaign, and he's getting them done even in the midst of the impeachment hanging over, right? So that's supposed to, you know, does it stop government? A lot of you had those questions. No, it does not. I mean, the president will be heading over to Davos for the World Economic Forum. He continues to do the work of the American people. Now, we've got an interesting question coming in because this is how the House is trying to, and the House managers are maybe attempting to try and bring new evidence into this, even though the evidence is supposed to be what their articles are and the reports that the committee's had. That's it. But John's got a good question online, too, in South Carolina. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call. You guys are doing a fantastic job. And as for President Trump, he has been doing everything that politicians have been promising since they took office. My question is, they voted in the House on the impeachment,
right,
on what the articles were. Now, can they change those from what they voted on to what they submitted?
They could try to add in more evidence. They cannot change the articles. The main two articles stand: abuse of power, obstruction of Congress. Now, not the criminal statute of obstruction of Congress, where they'd actually have to prove the elements. There is a statute for that. They didn't want to include that because, oh, that would be too difficult, and because the president didn't do that. So they didn't include that in there, that second article of impeachment. What they will try to do, I am assuming, through their oral presentations, is to bring in new information, even if they're not able to submit it as hard evidence. Now, they may try to do it in their filings. Their briefs are due next week. Some of this then will be up to the Senate to say, no, we will take what you had till the moment you passed the articles, and at the moment you passed the articles, that's what's on trial right now.
Yeah, because you're supposed to go to the floor of the House and actually vote on those articles. Look, I think this harkens back to the conversation we had yesterday, Jordan, where Chairman Jerry Nadler tried to say that under the resolution that the House passed yesterday, that they would have broad authority to continue to add evidence to their case. Jordan, I think the response in the United States Senate is going to be along the lines that we've heard from Senator Marco Rubio already. He said the testimony and evidence considered in a Senate impeachment trial should be the same testimony and evidence the House relied upon when they passed articles of impeachment. So I would tell you this, Jordan, I do think you're going to see attempts by these managers to add in all manner of things, but the factors that the senators put into how they ultimately vote on this, it's up to them, and I suspect the vast majority of them are going to base it solely on the investigation that the House conducted.
I want to go to Harry very quickly. I know we've only got about a minute left here, and we're going to continue to take your phone calls, continue to discuss all these victories. Click share. Share this broadcast with your friends and family. But, Harry, the significance of this Phase 1 China deal, we've already seen it in the stock market. We've still got tariffs on the Chinese goods, so they've got to prove in Phase 1 to get to Phase 2 that they're good faith about this.
Absolutely. And I think this is a huge win for the American people and for American workers. Essentially, China has agreed to $80 billion worth of additional purchases of manufactured goods, $32 billion in new purchases of agricultural goods. And what is really important, Jordan, is that this is the first formal agreement between the United States and China on trade. You will see Democratic attempts to attack this deal. Why? Because they will demand perfection when all the Democrats are able to do generally is to deliver mediocrity and a gut punch for the American people.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget, the work of the ACLJ continues throughout all this. Donate online at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Some may call it a slip of the tongue by Nancy Pelosi. I think she probably didn't want to say it this way, but it's reality, and she knows it's reality, and it's the truth. She was asked a pretty benign question about, do you think the president should delay the State of the Union until after the impeachment trial ends? Now, right now, the plan is that if there's no witnesses and this is all just kind of politics as normal that we expect from the House managers, that this could be on track to be finished in 2 weeks, starting next week. So next week and the following week before the State of the Union. But if it were to go past that, if witnesses started getting called, even though Rand Paul and others have been very clear, you call these witnesses, we may be calling Hunter and Joe Biden and others to testify. So don't just think, you're going to get maybe John Bolton, which, by the way, the president could insert executive privilege over his national security, former national security advisor, over, I think, fairly easily of all people, and his chief of staff. Those are people the president should be able to speak freely to and have open conversation with. But take a listen to Nancy Pelosi. She's asked this benign question about the State of the Union being delayed. Listen closely to the very end, bite 25.
Do you think it would be appropriate to delay the State of the Union until after the impeachment trial has concluded?
Well, it's up to the president. I mean, the president has some options. He can come that day, and we are prepared to welcome him that day. He could send a printed copy, which was for a long time the tradition. The president would send a copy of his State of the Union address, or he could ask us to postpone it if, in fact, he wants to have it after all of this is resolved.
Resolved is a key word, Harry.
Absolutely.
Because resolved means the president is still in office, and the president would be delivering the State of the Union after it's all resolved. I mean, she didn't try to couch it and say he may want to try to postpone it, but then he might not even be there anymore. She could have said something like that. Instead, she said resolved, which I think is at least we know where they think they stand when it comes to actual impeachment, which what does it mean? They're just trying to take political pot shots at the president and members of the U.S. Senate because they want to try to flip the Senate Democrat. And so they're going to try to target moderates up for re-election, moderate Republicans. And they're trying to take as many shots at the president as possible leading into the 2020 election with such a weak presidential field on their end. So she's already saying, Harry, hey, resolved.
Absolutely. So Nancy Pelosi's statement essentially is an admission that she will lose in the trial. And after all, she should lose because all of the articles of impeachment, all of the evidence reflects what? Hearsay. Zero direct evidence with respect to extortion, with respect to bribery, and with respect to quid pro quo. Now she's talking about the fact that the president, this is her allegation, is interfering with our election. Zero evidence has been presented. And that also underscores why she handed out souvenirs at her signing ceremony yesterday with respect to signing the articles of impeachment, because that represents her celebration. It's Nancy Pelosi at prayer. She got what she wanted, which was to impeach this president, and she likes to claim that he will be impeached for life. But I think after all of the evidence is in, after all of the attorneys have concluded their arguments, the United States Senate will reach a bipartisan acquittal, and the president of the United States will be acquitted for life.
Yeah, I mean, take a listen. Senator Mitch McConnell, after he watched that just joke of a signing ceremony, that was supposed to be so somber. Take a listen.
Well, nothing says seriousness and sobriety like handing out souvenirs. As though this were a happy bill signing instead of the gravest process in our Constitution. This final display neatly distilled the House's entire partisan process into one perfect visual.
It absolutely did. And I think Senator Mitch McConnell is the perfect person to be delivering that kind of statement. Like, nothing says seriousness and sobriety with the dryness he can deliver it, like handing out souvenirs. And that's exactly what she was doing. And then we heard that doubling down by Nadler both at the press conference yesterday and then on the floor of the House yesterday that the Senate would be on trial. Than, I think you combine these two things, the failure to stay somber, the handing out of the pens, the attack on the U.S. Senate that the Senate is on trial, and really that is a targeted shot at those who are up for re-election, Cory Gardner, Susan Collins, saying, you know, it's you who are on trial, when in fact they are the jurors. And you don't start off a prosecution by telling the jurors, we're actually going to put you on trial. That's never a good way for the House to treat the Senate.
Yeah, first of all, Jordan, I was surprised, quite frankly, at the level of tone deafness. I mean, you get a pen. It really was staggering. But it came on the heels of Jerry Nadler attacking the Senate, attacking the jurors, attacking the people that eventually he and the other managers are going to have to make a closing argument to and ask them to vote with him. It just seemed like a tremendous tactical error. But I would add one thing to the list, Jordan. I mean, these are the same senators who just now, I mean, literally minutes ago, went to the well of the Senate and voted along with the president to pass the USMCA trade deal. Many of them also supported the China deal. I know a bunch of Democrats did not. But Jordan, my point is this. During all of this, the president is continuing to rack up wins. And so you're going to ask senators on both sides of the aisle to go down to the floor and vote against a president that they've been standing with. And while they are being attacked, Jordan, I just think that is an incredibly hard argument for those prosecuting this case to make. And I would tell you, I think maybe that's why there's only seven of them. I don't think there were a whole lot of them that wanted to bring
it. I want to take this call from Sam. This came out. We're getting a lot in the Facebook comments as well. I think you can answer it very quickly. Sam in Georgia on line six, you're on the air.
Yeah. My question was about this recent statement by the GAO that President Trump broke the law with regard to withholding funds to Ukraine.
Yeah. Okay, so the GAO is the General Accounting Office. But remember, we have all these separation of powers and entities within. And I think the big flaw in the GAO report, I haven't had a ton of time, don't hold me to everything I'm saying about this. One, do I think that they will try to bring it up in their oral statements? Probably. But the GAO actually said, and I think this was what was most absurd, Harry, that the president violated holding the funds for policy purposes. And the president, when these funds are made available to the executive branch to utilize by Congress, has to make sure they are executed faithfully and that they're not being given over to a corrupt or a government which is not ready to receive them. So policy, he should have the decision to make there, even when it is always up to the president and his policy decisions. I think the GAO, again, you're just starting to see some more of these bureaucratic actors try to attack the president. That's my initial read on what just came out early today. I haven't done a full read on that, but Harry, that's again saying that
I think
the president
your analysis
has a policy
is spot on. And number two, the president of the United States retains his Article II powers with respect to the execution of policy, particularly foreign policy.
Yeah.
Thirdly, of course, I would point out that every single president of the United States has exercised discretion with respect to delaying sending funds to foreign countries.
All right, we come back, we're going to start answering more of your phone calls. I'm also going to talk to you about some ACLJ victories that we've had in the new year you may not have heard about yet, but they're all up at ACLJ.org. And let me encourage you, some of us may be focused on impeachment, but the ACLJ continues its work and its attorneys continue its work. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, nothing says seriousness and sobriety like handing out souvenirs. As though this were a happy bill signing instead of the gravest process in our Constitution. This final display neatly distilled the House's entire partisan process into one perfect visual.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I have a feeling out there if I said you could have what I'm holding in my hand, which is a plastic Sharpie Donald Trump signature pin. It's available. I'm not trying to break any campaign finance law. It's available on his campaign website store. They sign very well, by the way. Or the fancy Nancy Pelosi signature pin that she handed out in honor of impeachment, which is supposed to be so somber, as Mitch McConnell said. Most of you would choose what I'm holding in my hand, which is the Sharpie, basically, a form of Sharpie. I don't want to, again, infringe on any trademarks there. And then whatever these fancy gold and black pins. And by the way, it didn't say impeachment. It was like, here, you get a Nancy Pelosi pin. I mean, you know, she's not the president of the United States. She is the speaker. But that's interesting that that's what she chose to hand out. It's like the House managers, if that's the pin they're going to utilize, what is it, a reminder that Nancy Pelosi is watching you? Again, it's just, it was bizarre. It was bad optics from House Democrats. They couldn't keep their smiles at bay. You could even see when they were walking over the articles of impeachment, how they were like holding back. Like for those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, I'll do the face for you for like Nadler and these others. Like they wanted to be jumping up and down for joy. Adam Schiff and Nadler. Now they thought this was so cool and look at what we've done to the president. So they had to like focus in and act really serious. Again, this is really serious and the president's legal team has been ready to go and is, I think, chomping at the bit now to take apart these articles of impeachment and like this GAO report, which says the president can't make decisions based off policy. It's absurd. Absurd. But, and to call it illegal is another thing, another step too far when it comes to the GAO. We will take your calls and questions about impeachment coming up, but I do want to tell you, ACLJ's had some significant victories. I'll get to a couple of them right now. One, the ACLJ was contacted by the parents of a young girl in New Jersey. She wore pro-life buttons to school, and she was told she could not talk to her fellow students about abortion. So imagine the confusion she had, the feeling of alienation she had, when the school leaders tell these students that sharing their beliefs is wrong or even illegal. Well, this was thankfully a very quick victory for the ACLJ. The school got notified by us that they were violating her constitutional protected rights. And after receiving our letter from the ACLJ, we were notified by the counsel for the superintendent of the school district that they would be again allowed to speak with her fellow students about abortion as long as it didn't interfere in the operation of the school day. That's exactly how it should be. That's just one victory. Another quick victory in Illinois. We stepped in for an employee of a federal agency who was ordered to remove a Bible verse hanging in his cubicle. All the other employees got to decorate their cubicles. But supposedly, because this was a Bible verse, it had to go. We sent a demand letter. The agency has relented, and our client was again able to display the verse. These all happened between the end of the year and now. So, the end of 2019 and 2020. This remains ongoing, though, because we're trying to make sure. I don't want to go into details about it yet because it's an employment situation. That there wasn't then retribution on this employee carried out, which would really violate the law. So while we got the religious liberty victory, we're still there representing that employee of this government agency because it appears like some retribution may have been taken out on them because of what they pointed out and how they came to us at the ACLJ and how they had the agency had to change its policies. So again, that's two. I'll give you two more later. These are just victories that we've had in literally the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So always remember, because we're going to be talking about impeachment a lot in the next segment, trade deals, USMCA, China Phase 1. Always remember that the work of the ACLJ is continuing. We're a big organization. You can support our work by donating at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Don't get distracted just by impeachment. You know, our team, we've got that covered. We've got a lot of work to do at aclj.org. Donate today.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So I talked to you about two ACLJ just recent victories. I want to remind you that the work of the ACLJ continues. Our government affairs work, as Stan said, on Capitol Hill. Our work, our legal work, we have attorneys across the country and across the world working on issues. They're not all focused on impeachment. Just a handful of us who are on the president's legal team. That's outside of our work at the ACLJ. So I want to encourage you, if you're a supporter of the ACLJ, it's a great time to donate. Because you're helping us continue the work that we do right now. We had a great end of the year. We're getting deeper into 2020. And I want to make sure you're not completely distracted by impeachment. I think that's all we're focused on. Our radio broadcast. Now, listen, this is part of what the ACLJ does, is bring the news to you each day and try to break it down for you in the best possible way with the best analysis and in a longer format than you're going to get in snippets on cable news, which... You know, I'll do those cable news hits, but it's usually 4 minutes, 5 minutes. I mean, that's what you get. And so you're not going to be able to go through in depth. We're able to do that on here so that you know the truth, but you also know our position on issues as well. A couple more victories I want to get to, and then we'll get back to some impeachment as well. And some other work that the White House is working on today. So we've, you know, USMCA, China phase one. How about religious freedom announcements? Religious freedom announcements from the White House. President Trump putting these together and his administration. Again, while impeachment supposedly hanging out, he's impeached forever. And he's heading over to Davos next week for the World Economic Forum. But here's another couple of ACLJ wins. In Illinois, a teacher at a public school who put up a Christmas display consisted of Santa, a Christmas tree, some elves, a nativity scene, among other traditional items, was told by the school, take the nativity scene down. Believing the school misunderstood the law, she contacted us. We sent a letter demanding it provide clarity on the law, and just recently, the school responded, explaining that it will not implement any policy banning religious displays. So that happened right at the end of the year during the Christmas holiday, that Christmas tree display with a nativity scene was able to remain in that Illinois public school because she followed, remember during the Christmas season, what we said, kind of that Supreme Court reindeer rule that if you've got the other parts of the more secular parts of Christmas displayed, if that can even be the case, when you're talking about Santa Claus, Saint Claus, again, though, there was another victory. Here in Ohio, do you remember the mezuzah victory, the complex in Washington, D.C.? that allowed people to decorate their doors, but told a young woman, got to take down your mezuzah, which is, she was Jewish, part of the Jewish faith. You'll see on the door, when you enter into Jewish homes, on the doorways often. Again, they include parts of Deuteronomy, typically, in the law from what we call the Old Testament, from what would be the Bible, but the book of Deuteronomy. So we won that case. That was in D.C. And the company that oversaw not just that building, but many buildings said they're going to make it clear in their policy that you can, if you're, you know, when you can decorate your doors in their buildings, you can have religious decorations as well. That one was really absurd because a mezuzah is pretty, they can be different sizes, but I mean, it's on the side of your door. It's not like on the front of your door. It says, I am Jewish and this or that. I mean, it's just something you do. Here's another similar win. Now, this was for the Christian faith. In Ohio, and when I first heard about it, I said, is this the same one? I said, no, this is in Ohio. The ACLJ contacted the management company of an apartment complex via demand letter regarding its discriminatory policy prohibiting religious displays on doors while permitting all non-religious displays. So they put up whatever you want on your door unless it's religious. That's not how freedom of speech works if you start opening up forums, which is what this business decided to do. They decided to open up forums for people to put up whatever they want on their doors except for religious. And the courts have said, you can't discriminate that way. You can't say, put up whatever you want, but if it's religious, it's somehow different and treated differently. No, that can't be the case. So we represented a tenant. The tenant contacted us with concern regarding this policy. Sounds eerily similar to the mezuzah case. Fortunately, just as in this case, the Ohio management company not only agreed to rescind its unlawful policy at this property, but at all of the properties it manages, so that all, and in this case, it was a Bible verse a display on the door, and it was very much in line with what was on other people's doors. This one just happened to be a Bible verse. So we didn't just win for the building or for the tenant. We won for all the buildings they managed. They've changed their policies. So that's now happened twice now in the last month of these kind of victories of the ACLJ. One for a person of the Jewish faith, but affects all religious people. The second, a Christian, that was out of D.C. A second, a Christian faith in Ohio, but again, a victory for all religious people. And then the buildings didn't just say, okay, for this building or for this tenant, fine. They said for all of their buildings. Now we understand the law. You just have to educate them. Yes, a little threat comes with those demand letters that if you don't take action, we could take you to court. But sometimes if you just educate them on what the law stands for, you win. And it's all to remind you. You know, when I woke up today, I said, you know, I want to remind people that we could be so focused on this impeachment. Then turn on the TV. That's what's going to be on. You'll see my dad on it a lot. There's a lot of images of him on it right now. Probably first time you could hear him speak. It won't be when he's giving his opening statement. By the way, maybe Tuesday, because of the rules debate that's allowed to occur through the amendments by the attorneys. So you might see him then. You'll certainly see him on the Senate floor then, Tuesday. You may see me walking back and forth a little bit through that. But just to underscore, the ACLJ's work, we're a big organization. The radio broadcast will continue live Monday through Fridays. The work of our attorneys continues here in the United States and around the world. We're keeping ACLJ.org very updated, as well as the ACLJ Facebook page and my Facebook page very updated. But I wanted to update you today on the air. And I wanted to remind you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Now, Than, I think tomorrow we'll get into more detail on this because we got a lot of calls to take in the next segment. So for Jim, Katie, Ron, Judith, and Chris, hold on. We're going to get to your phone calls in the next segment. We're going to focus on these impeachment phone calls. That's what they are. And there's one line open, 1-800-684-3110. But then I did want to mention these religious freedom announcements, including one on clarifying the students' rights to school prayer that are going to be made from the White House later today, announced by the White House later today. And then I think we'll get into more detail on these tomorrow. But this is another major victory for religious liberty. And whether you're talking about economics like USMCA or China Phase 1, which maybe we'll get into more details to tomorrow on the broadcast, This is a victory for religious liberty at the hands of the Trump administration through the executive branch.
And it really ties in very nicely to the cases that you just laid out, Jordan. This all ties back to a very early executive order that President Trump made early in his administration, directing every agency to look at the religious freedom regulations that they had in place and see if anything needed tightening up or closer tacking to statute. Jordan, to date, 9 agencies are going to be announcing proposed rules to do just that. The common theme that's going to run through them, Jordan, is making sure that faith-based organizations that engage in social service programs are not treated differently than other non-faith-based organizations. A common way, Jordan, just one example, what would often happen under the Obama administration is that to get a grant, a faith-based organization had to agree to also give referrals to anybody who objected about the faith component of their organization, had to agree to give that person a referral to another organization that provided the same service without the faith-based component. That is going to go away in all of these 9 agencies, Jordan. And just one other specific, you alluded to this, but the Department of Education, separate from that rule, is going to issue guidance on the issue of the permissibility of prayer in public schools. There's going to be some very good teeth in this one, Jordan, I'm told. But I would tell you this, I think it's very similar to those demand letters you talked about. We send out demand letters. This is going to be the Department of Education saying, look, this is the law. We are going to enforce it. You have to follow it. Not only do you have to follow it, Jordan, you have to certify to us that you're following it. So we'll have more in the days to come. But 9 agencies, Jordan, at the direction of President Trump, issuing these rules today.
Yeah, we'll get into it more tomorrow, even more next week as we start getting the full guidance and specifics on it. We've got kind of bullet points on it now. But I want to wait because we got a lot of impeachment calls to get to in the next segment. All the lines are full, and those are the calls that we're going to be able to get to. And I understand that's where people's minds are right now. I totally get that. But I do want to, Harry, just quickly, how big of a deal is USMCA and this phase one of the China deal economically? I mean, the stock market's telling us it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal for employment. It's a huge deal for reducing the unemployment rate, which is already at record levels, low levels, for African Americans and Hispanics. And it will probably propel the gross domestic product an additional 0.5% to 1% in terms of economic growth. So President Trump is delivering on the economic side of things as he promised.
All right, folks. If you get our emails, you'll see an email from me about the latest attack on the faith of our soldiers. Open it up. Check it out. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. I'm going to do a what's next on this one in the next few days and a few weeks as well. And again, go to ACLJ.org. If you can't support us, donate today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
So I was glad today that we were able to get some other topics, update you about the USMCA, the China Phase 1, some of the recent ACLJ victories. But I know you're all chomping at the bit on impeachment. I get that. I'm on the president's legal team, and you got great analysts here to kind of give you answers when we can, and kind of if there's a couple of options, well, we can give you those, you know, how things could likely play out. So we're going to go right to the phones, and we're going to go in order of how long people have been holding on, 1-800-684-3110. This is a question we're getting a lot. This will come down to the rules of the Senate, but it is something that I think we can address immediately. Judith in California on line 4. Judith, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Hi, Fan. First of all, I just want to preface something to say that President Donald Trump is doing a fantastic job. I pray for him every day. I think he's going to win in the Senate. I think all of this is going to be thrown out. It's a bunch of, to not use the words of Joe Biden, malarkey that they're doing. But I just wanted to ask a quick question. Now that Adam Schiff has been appointed as a manager for the prosecution on the House side, can he be called as a witness in this case? Because I just have a really bad feeling that the initial whistleblower is a fake person. Mm. It might have been somebody that Adam Schiff conjured.
Well, we know that person is somehow connected to Vindman, who testified. Because Vindman said he contacted someone in intelligence, and it was reported that was someone in the CIA. It's like everyone knows this person's name. But, you know, like you said, fake is an interesting word to use because they may have been kind of goaded into doing this by Adam Schiff's staff, who he lied about having contact with. Now, does he get to be called as a witness? Here's what Adam Schiff first is going to have to go through before we even get to the point of, I don't think there should be any witnesses in this trial. So I hope we don't get to that point. And you're going to get a lot of, Adam Schiff is going to have to answer a lot of these questions because he is a House manager, Than. I mean, that's the key. They will have their opening statements and closing statements, but there's question time. It is significant amount of hours, and those questions, they're written by senators and then directed to the relevant representatives by the Chief Justice. And I guarantee you Adam Schiff is going to have to answer some of these questions, and maybe more if he starts playing games with the transcript language again and in his opening statement or remarks he makes.
Yeah, Jordan, that was the thought I had as Judith was asking the question as well. He doesn't have to be called as a witness to be asked this question, and in fact, I think he will be. I mean, the proximity to the whistleblower, the alleged whistleblower, contact with him and or his staff, all of that is very relevant, Jordan. So I fully expect that will be one of the questions asked of him. And honestly, that was why I thought there was a little bit of suspense at whether or not he would be a manager. I mean, I think at the end of the day, he absolutely had to be. But Jordan, he sure went as late as he could in the process before avoiding the possibility of being asked a question. Didn't even present his own report to the House Judiciary Committee. And I really think it's because he didn't want to take questions. He's going to have to now, but he sure went as long as he could trying to avoid that.
All right, folks, we're going to go right back to the phone calls. And again, as people have been hanging on, Ron in Missouri, line 3. Ron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Everybody's getting a copy signed by me of the next Red Wave. It's in bookstores now. It's available on Amazon, and it ties so directly to all of this, folks, that they're going to keep coming and keep coming after this president. But what it also gets to is, how do we win? And it's not just this impeachment trial, but in 2020, November 3rd. And ensure that the right people are in office. And it's something we don't talk about a lot on this air. ACLJ is a nonprofit. We don't take sides. That book does. And I encourage you to check it out because I do have a very partisan background, if you will, working on political campaigns for Republicans and conservatives. Check out The Next Red Wave. But everybody on today's broadcast is going to get a copy signed by me. Ron, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Sam, appreciate your time, and I want to thank all of your staff and all of your people that work for you and all the wonderful jobs that you guys have done over the years. I've listened to you for a long time. My question, I guess, mainly, and I agree with you, I hope and pray that they don't have any witnesses in this thing, because I think that's just... you know, opening up a can of worms we don't need. And what I wanted to ask you is if it does come down to having witnesses, you know, and I know how many times we've seen witnesses over the years for the Democrats and, sure. and the far left people. They all want to claim the fifth. They want to hide behind
the fifth.
They
have that constitutional right. They do have that constitutional right. And Harry, they'll have that right if they are called in these hearings as well.
Absolutely. But I also think the caller is onto something that, yes, they will perhaps plead the fifth, but also the Senate will be entitled to reach its own conclusion based on whether or not they are prepared to answer direct and perhaps relevant questions. But I think at the end of the day, we have to go back to the shortage of evidence which the House has introduced, at least so far, in its impeachment effort. And so the question is, is there any evidence of quid pro quo? Is there any evidence of extortion, bribery, interference with the 2020 election? And I think the answer to those questions so far is zero evidence. And I think the Federalist magazine has a wonderful question, which is out there, which is whether or not Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats, by introducing these impeachment articles, whether or not they are doing that Vladimir Putin's bidding by introducing these articles. And I think the answer to that is perhaps yes.
Let's go right back to the phones. Jim in Illinois, line one. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Quickly.
Hi, good morning. I just had a question concerning the if there was some law that would throw this whole thing out based on the fact that the whole thing was premeditated and it's been known, and even Nancy said about a week ago.
No, I mean, unfortunately, Jim, no. The House can impeach when they want, and they can plan it as long as they want. They can have as many impeachment votes as they want. In fact, two of the House managers, interesting enough, were voting to impeach the president back in July of 2019. Two of them. So they were not even waiting for these articles. They were with Al Green on the impeachment. But the Senate can dismiss it. I don't think the votes are there yet, but I feel like they may be growing the closer this gets because of how partisan the House is playing this. I mean, if you're those House Democrats, I mean, I'm not trying to help them at all, but you do not want them talking anymore. And I have a feeling they're going to be hitting their Sunday shows. They're going to be loving the spotlight, and they're going to sound really partisan, and that's going to upset a lot of senators, especially there's ones that happen to still be Republican, though they may be more moderate, and realize, hey, they're just coming after us. They're like ignoring President Trump. They're going to come after us. We're the ones on trial. Wait, what? All right. But again, that would be the way it would quickly be handled. Not some other court mechanism. I could try to take one more call briefly. Katie in Illinois, very quickly. We got 40 seconds left.
Okay. Thanks for all your work. could the Senate declare this impeachment invalid since it's completely partisan? It had no
so they can vote to dismiss the articles without a trial. They can do that. They can open up the trial, immediately vote to dismiss. That's not likely at the moment. It doesn't appear. And I'm just saying I would like to see that done because I don't think the president should be on trial. But we're the attorneys. We've got to prepare for the real trial, the real thing. I think, again, that should happen, but I don't think the votes are there yet for Republicans. It would take 51 Republicans to do that. So they absolutely could just do away with this and ignore this. But again,
for decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.